You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings. Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Are the Raiders for real? Now, the only team in the league that's undefeated after getting rid of a bigot. They lead the league in being undefeated. I was just about to say that I hate watching the Patriots and the Broncos, and then you get that Patriots-Dallas game that goes totally crazy at the end. Stugatz has now six best teams in the league.
Yes.
No one here agrees on the Kansas City Chiefs and what it is that they are. So I'll throw it to you first, Whittingham, the Mahomes slander that we're getting. Mike Ryan was enjoying today seeing him humbled. And then I look up and he's still throwing the ball underhanded and he's still running around out there being reckless with the football. What do you guys have for me on the Chiefs?
I mean, Patrick Mahomes. So my feeling about them is, Patrick Mahomes' BS is cool when he's not throwing eight interceptions. He threw one today where this is going nowhere and just chucks it up in the air. There's another one that was like a flip that went 10 yards. And it's like, stop it with the flips and with the overhand throws when you have eight interceptions. Cool it, Mahomes.
But he did it. But he completed one of those to Tyreek Hill. He completed another one to Kelce underhanded. You want him to stop? I don't ever want him to stop. You do what with what's happening with the Chiefs, Stugatz? Because in the second half, they just steamrolled Washington.
And all the people that told me that Washington was going to be good before the season started, where are you? Because they're dreadful. That team is not good at all. The Chiefs, Dan, first off, I don't want to take that out of Patrick Mahomes. That's part of what – it's so funny how we're doing this, that Patrick Mahomes, for the first time in his career, is not having, like, the type of season that we're accustomed to. When all of a sudden we want to take the stuff that we love about Patrick Mahomes away from Patrick Mahomes. I'm totally with Dan. I want him to continue to do this as long as he's playing football.
He's experiencing consequences for the first time. For his reckless behavior as a quarterback.
Tony's got an opinion on this. It's a very strong opinion, and it's just three words for you.
Respect the Duke, okay? We've been talking about him respecting the Duke. Eight interceptions is not respecting the Duke. On top of that, he's having a regular season that he would have. He's just throwing a couple more interceptions. He's still leading the league in almost every category.
He was doing a better job today of taking what the defense was giving him, and the defense really was helped out by a 10-play drive that took 8 minutes. When do you ever see that out of the Kansas City Chiefs. He was actually hurting his own defense by just looking to score so quickly, because it would either be a three-play drive to Tyreek Hill for 80 yards, or it would be a three and out, and that defense just trots right back out there, or it would be a turnover, and the defense is right back out there. But it was the Washington football team. I think that he's going to be able to get away with all that stuff. He did it against any NFC East opponent. He's going to be able to get away with it, but it's against the elite defenses that I still have my question marks about it.
Billy, I've been negligent in not going to you with how it is that you spent your day today.
They suck, by the way, if you're wondering what I thought about the Chiefs. That's not going to work against good teams. They're not going to make it deep in the playoffs. Yeah, they suck. They suck. It's over.
I wasn't wondering what you thought.
I don't know. We went around the horn talking about the Chiefs and what we all thought. And
totally fair.
I was going to ask you before I was interrupted how you spent your afternoon, because you had a controversial take before we started here. Right before we started, Stugat said, I imagine that all of Jerry Jones' kisses are sloppy and wet. Put that on the poll for us, if you would, please, at Levitard Show. Are all of Jerry Jones' kisses sloppy and wet? And you had the shocking take that there is something better than carving pumpkins with pumpkins. There's behavior that's better.
Yeah, painting pumpkins, a lot easier. Hmm. A lot easier. Mm-hmm. I've carved the pumpkins. This year I had to paint the pumpkin because I have a four-month-old, and it's not suggested that you give a four-month-old a knife to start carving. So we did a little painting of the pumpkins instead of the carving. So much easier. And I'm not going to have a dead pumpkin. Well, I guess it's not a dead pumpkin, but you know what I mean? Like a rotted pumpkin with that weird spiderweb crap inside of it, and then it smells up the whole house. You know what I'm talking about? And then it starts eating its own face. Whatever it is that you make it look like, it starts eating itself, and then it smells really bad. No way that it lasts until Halloween. You need to do it like 2 days before Halloween if you want it to last till Halloween. So if you're doing it, what day is today? 16th or 17th? 2 weeks away from Halloween still, Dan. Right. No way that it lasts until the 31st if you carve it. I hate to tell everybody that was carving pumpkins at the pumpkin carving party, but those pumpkins aren't going to last until then.
I think the carving of pumpkins is spectacularly overrated and an enormous pain in the ass. Just an enormous pain in the ass.
Wow.
Which is your
great
favorite
traditions of all time?
Which is your favorite seasonal activity? Do you like carving? Well, you just said you don't like carving.
I like pumpkins. Eating Thanksgiving dinner. You know that's my favorite. What's
no
noche
buena dinner.
What about gingerbread houses? Are you in on gingerbread houses?
No, not a big fan.
Ugly
of
sweater parties? Do you like the holidays?
I like eating during the holidays is what I like. So who are the six teams in the league that you've got, Stugatz, is the best teams in the league?
This is very exciting, Dan, because we've never had six teams who are the best team in the league at the same exact time. It's never happened before. I mean, I'm telling you, I keep track of these things at the same exact time. It's amazing. Are you ready? I can't do this in any particular order because they're all the best. Okay. You know what I'm saying? All right, here we go.
No, it's very complicated and very layered. I don't understand. Please explain it with as much nuance and all the analytics that you're using.
Six teams, all the best teams in the NFL, all at the same time. So it's a six-way tie for first. Here we go, okay? The Packers, the Cardinals, the Bills, the Cowboys, the Bucks, and the Rams. How about that? Six teams, the six best teams of the NFL all time.
Well, let's talk about the Packers, because I think the soundbite from the day, even though Dan Campbell tried to make a run for it with a long pause when he was asked about Jared Goff, and then he said he made the controversial quote of, I feel he needs to step up more than he has, and people are making a big deal about it because coaches never say anything about players.
I saw Jared Goff throw a ball away on fourth down today.
Yes. Yes. So while incurring a holding penalty. Yes.
Come on, man. He did. It was fourth and four. He rolls to his left and just confidently throws it 10 rows deep into the bleachers.
I'm going to mitigate the damage here, guys. Yeah, we're not going to turn it over. I'm going to take an interception that would possibly give them the ball a little further back. We'll give them the ball right here.
But how about Aaron Rodgers scoring against the Bears and saying the equivalent of, I've owned you my entire life and I still own you. That never happens. You never have the quarterbacks mic'd up like that. In fact, if they had him mic'd up during the game and they didn't have to be happen to be close to him in the end zone, they might have scrubbed that. Like, they might not have ever allowed that to be aired. That's not stuff you usually hear.
It was so cool because we got to hear it. It was so cool because there was a little shove at the end of that play there once Aaron got into the end zone. So he fell down kind of towards the sideline in the end zone. And then to be able to hear that, to see that and experience that the way we did from home. That was awesome, man.
Oh, God bless Avante Adams' toenail for going out of bounds. Otherwise, we'd be robbed of that moment. And part of me kind of thought, because it's we were lucky to hear it, but I don't know if it's uncharacteristic of Aaron Rodgers. We don't have access to him all that much with a microphone after he scores a rushing touchdown. But part of me was like, oh, yeah, this could technically be his last road game at Soldier Field. And maybe he was just soaking in that moment of just absolutely tearing the hearts out of Chicago Bears fans once again, because you never know if the NFL schedule, which with whatever team that he's on next year and how long he decides to play, if he's ever going to find his way back in Soldier Field. So I thought that was him really reveling in doing it possibly one last time. Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail palms in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail palms lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail palms. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail palms, quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Billy, you enjoyed Brandon Staley getting his comeuppance today after we celebrated him so much. He gets stripped down to nothing by one of Stugatz's six best teams in the league, the Baltimore Ravens.
Did you see what he did on fourth down on his own 19-yard line? That's not something a genius does. We can agree at that, right? That's not a genius move. Tony,
no, we can't agree. We can't agree because there's actually like – and this is going to sound weird, okay, and it's going to sound like kind of snobby, but there's bots that are put together to let people know when to go for it on fourth down. There was actually a 3% chance of winning if you went for it on fourth down and a 2% chance of winning if you punted it. So, yeah.
Well, Greg Gumbel did not
have a feel for the game. I mean, do they have any
Greg Gumbel, Whitty, you heard Greg Gumbel did not like that. They did not like him going for it from his own 19-yard line.
It was more Adam Archuleta, his partner. They were clutching their pearls. I imagine them actually having pearls in the broadcast booth and they clutched them because they were so appalled at the notion of going for it fourth and one at your own 19-yard line down 18 points in the third quarter. Because what you really want to do when you're down 18 points is punt the ball back to Lamar Jackson. It was infuriating. When are the commentators going to adjust to the fact that coaches go for it more on fourth down now?
Okay, and let's replay that and have Urban Meyer make that decision and see what your thoughts are on that call.
Adam Archuleta is calling games?
I
mean,
yeah.
Really?
I had a couple of things happen with the broadcast today that delighted me. First of all, I love when Romo and Nance don't know what a rule is, and they call into the other room as if they're calling across the house into the kitchen. Gene! they just go get him for the rules. And then in one of the games, I heard the sentence, no lie, that's Johnny Heckert doing what Johnny Heckert does.
Yeah.
Best throwing punter of all time. Yeah.
I nodded in approval. That is absolutely what he
great
does.
Analysis. Yeah.
You remember like 4 or 5 years ago, I told you that any quarterback in the league when it was Brock Osweiler could go 13 of 23. That's what Johnny Heckert is for his career, throwing the football 13 for 23 with a touchdown.
And one interception, I believe, as well.
The Dolphins today played one. There weren't that many interesting games, and the Dolphins played one of them today. And as I'm watching, Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow team up, that's what Tua and Waddle are supposed to look like. When you draft guys that high, it's supposed to look like what the Bengals are. Suddenly a good football team. This can't be disputed. They're still unbelievably cheap. They're not a franchise that's ever cared about winning. They're only in it for the business of football and making money. But the Bengals are one of these second tier teams, right, Mike? That the Bengals are good.
I'm convinced that the Bengals are good. I actually like the Lions headed into this game. Again, I'm a terrible gambler. Don't take any of my advice. The more I study, the less that I know. But a taking care of business road win in the NFL for a team that's exceeding expectations is not something to be taken for granted. And they absolutely destroyed. Now, it helps when the quarterback for the Lions is throwing the ball away on a fourth down. They have a lot of problems over there in Detroit. But we were talking about Detroit last week saying, oh, this is a team that plays hard. That's exactly the moment where you catch one of these teams that's probably a little overvalued because maybe they're not as good and they have a really good running game. I'm really impressed with Joe Mixon, how physical that defense is. And Joe Burrow has absolutely improved year over year. And Ja'Marr Chase, you look at that wide receiver core, it's one of the best in the league. Yes, they have really good wide receivers. Yeah, they have excellent weapons over there. So I'm impressed with what Zach Taylor is doing. I thought he was a joke and he was part of one of those. You know, there was that whole craze, let's just take any McVay guy, and he looked to be the poster boy of, like, that's why you do your due diligence, and he's turned it around over there.
But Burrow also did that, Dan. Like, Burrow did that, and they did that after a heartbreaking loss to Green Bay last week. And, like, so that was, to me, that was super impressive. Like, and they, like, they fixed their team in two drafts. Think about it. They fixed it with Joe Burrow.
Well, okay. And three decades. And three decades.
Like, correct. But listen, give them credit. They got it right. Two out of the last three drafts. Like, they got Burrow and they got Ja'Marr Chase and they appear to be fixed. Like, they're really good.
And meanwhile, the Dolphins are turning Jalen Waddle into Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, but he looked good today, man. Like, he did. Like, Jalen Waddle. It's just not Joe
Burrow. 7 yards a catch. It's 10 catches, 7 yards a catch. That's not, what is that?
And his average depth of target is like negative, right? Like they're throwing to him behind the line of scrimmage, which is, I don't know. The funny thing is, remember when everybody's clamoring for the Bengals to take Penei Sewell because they're like, oh, Joe Burrow needs help. He needs an offensive line. It's like, well, no, he just needs more weapons to throw the ball down the field 57 yards.
Let's talk about the Dolphins for a second, because the way they played at the end of the first half and the end of the game, I mean, Dave Hyde of the Sun Sentinel wrote, these are the kinds of things that get people fired right here. Losing not just this game to that team, right? To that team that hadn't kicked a field goal in 300 days or so. Urban Meyer gets his first victory, and they botched so many things in that game. Mike Ryan, though, is willing to proclaim Gesicki the best tight end in franchise history, and I think he might be right.
I was actually going over the numbers. Now, I think we have to respect Randy McMichael. Mm. Put that on the poll. Do you have to respect Randy McMichael? But I think Gesicki is absolutely on a career path to surpass Randy McMichael as the greatest Miami Dolphins tight end ever. And I think he lives a fairly anonymous life down here.
You better put Bruce Hardy in there, Mike. You got to put Bruce Hardy on that list. What are you doing?
No, you do not have to. That is such a pathetic list. No, you don't have to put Bruce Hardy on that list. It is when Randy McMichael put it on the poll, Guillermo. When Randy McMichael is at the top of your list, is your list pathetic? But Whittingham, what is that? I know you love the Dolphins and hate the Dolphins, but what was that today?
Well, it was a culmination of an offense that is trying to... So they had two, I thought, really nice touchdown drives. But that's what they're trying to accomplish offensively. They're trying to be a 13-play drive offense. And they've been that my entire life. They've been trying to dink and dunk and precise their way down the field with 4 yards, 3 yards, 5 yards, 4 yards, 2 yards, 5 yards, over and over and over again. And that's an incredibly small margin for error. And so they did it twice. Tua threw a really bad interception. I thought otherwise he was pretty decent. The offensive line cost them yet again getting Malcolm Brown blown up, which why are they still running Malcolm Brown fourth and one plays? Those have never worked. They will never work. The only people that seem to think they will work are the Dolphins coaching staff. And offensively, you're just right back to not trusting your coordinator again. I don't think I've ever had a good offensive coordinator in my life. And it's just one of those things where Brian Flores has had three goes at trying to get the offensive staff right, and it doesn't seem like he's gotten it right yet again. They have co-coordinators, and they're still trying to run this very in-the-sandbox offense.
I thought they had a good coach at times last year because he was making decisions that actually won them games, and he wasn't afraid of being unpopular. Hell, he asked Will Fuller that. Like he not Will Fuller, the other wide receiver.
Kenny Stills.
He doesn't seem to know how to put together a staff. The Chan Gailey thing, in retrospect, was absurd. And it was a big red flag for how he's gone on with his staff in the wake of letting Chan Gailey retire yet again. I don't know what the fix is. I think a lot of people want Brian Flores fired for this, but it's either he stays and you blow out the entire staff and you start from zero. And I'm not sure if you have all this faith in Brian Flores being your guy if he can't surround himself with other people that can help coach that team up.
Tony, who is your best team in the sport? Because you can't do what Stugatz is doing. Six best teams in the sport. Not that any of this matters, incidentally, because the Browns are all banged up, and you can't do these measurements when I imagine that the worst play of your day today, Mike, was Odell Beckham dropping another fourth down, first down catch while Kareem Hunt, who's your only healthy running back, Kareem Hunt goes down with a non-contact injury.
Yeah, there were a lot of bad plays. The Odell drop, again, he's had a lot of fourth down drops. 2 days ago, I think he was asked about that fourth down drop that happened early in the Chargers game, and he said that's the last time the ball's going to hit the floor this season. And that's – you go to the Odell Beckhams of the world because they have this reputation. You don't call plays. You call you think of players, not plays, in those key circumstances. And he let them down again. That's a ball that you absolutely have to win in that 1v1 moment. And I thought it was no coincidence that the Browns were moving the ball better when Odell was on the bench. And the fans have a lot more patience about this than I do. They were chanting Odell Beckham's name today. They really want to get this thing going. But I'm starting to have a pretty representative sample here that suggests the Browns are just a lot better of an offense without Odell out there.
There was a lower third on First Take the other day that I took a picture of. It was just Stephen A. : Baker is sabotaging Odell's career. Wow. And they had Tim Tebow debating it.
It's a great theory. I mean,
yeah.
He left. Baker left the locker room with his arm in a sling, right? And when he was asked, how's your arm feel? His response was like shit.
Yeah. They got to play in 4 days on Thursday Night Football.
He's not playing, Mike. There's no way he's playing. I mean, you're going to that game and you're going to see Case Keenum. I mean,
I'm going to Cleveland for the first time in 13 years to watch my Browns play, and it may be Case Keenum and D'Ernest Johnson out there for me.
I think the Arizona Cardinals are still the best team in the league, and I proclaimed them that like 3 weeks ago. Offensively and defensively, the ghost of J.J. Watt somehow still out here doing it, and I don't know if that's a byproduct of the offensive line for the Browns being bad or if him just having some sort of career renaissance with the Birds, but like Kyler Murray's just playing the quarterback position at a different level than everybody else. He had 3 or 4 fumbles where he was just able to jump back on it in like 2 seconds. He's like a cat back there. You can't catch him. He's trying to like move around. He's throwing balls to DeAndre Hopkins just wide open in the end zone. The Cardinals, even without Cliff Kingsbury, they're like really good.
Dude, they kicked our ass, and the Browns have a bunch of injuries, but so do the Cardinals on that defensive line. And J.J. Watt was a one-man wrecking crew. I know he was lined up against Hudson, who's one of the worst players in all of football, try to get Baker Mayfield killed today. I just didn't want Baker Mayfield to play another snap. I thought his season was done because of how he landed on that chest. I'm shocked that he played. The Cardinals are very, very good. They were missing a lot of key dudes today, and it didn't matter. They steamrolled Cleveland.
They are very good. They're tied for sixth in terms of best team in the NFL.
Wow.
So
tied for first.
Can we enough with J.J. Watt, please? Like, I mean, he has 0 sacks to go along with their 0 losses. Like, the reason this team is good is one reason and one reason only. It's Kyler Murray. That's it. Oh. Like, how do you – damn, what are you supposed to do with Kyler Murray? Because that guy, he's tiny. He's ridiculous. He gets out of the pocket. In the pocket, he's great. He's better out of the pocket. He can run for 50 yards. He can throw it 70 yards. I mean, it's absurd.
It's another one of those teams, and I know this is simplified analysis, but third and long, when they're in third and long, it doesn't matter that they're in third – and long because did they even in any way need Cliff Kingsbury today? They played today with, you know, missing a whole bunch of coaching staff members. And I imagine that Kingsbury didn't even watch the game. He was at a Vegas pool party. Like, I don't think that he was even watching today.
That would be problematic.
Yeah. No, but I'm with Dan.
Positive.
COVID, I'm with Dan, though. If he was watching, he stopped watching in the fourth quarter. Like, I spent my day, like, imagining the spread at Cliff Kingsbury's house while he's watching the game. Like, there was a rager going on there.
Billy, you had some, other than the Chiefs suck, also...
they do, though.
Had some opinions on the team that the Chiefs were playing today. I heard you muttering before we turned on the microphones here that you didn't like the way they looked. Washington looked.
Their uniforms are horrible. Am I the only one? Admittedly, I've not been watching a lot of Washington football team games this year.
What?
They looked incomplete. They looked like practice uniforms for FSU or something. The helmets didn't have anything on them. They didn't even have the numbers anymore. It looked like they just bought them all in bulk, like on East Bay or something. They were like the most plain uniforms I've ever seen.
These were the throwbacks, and I think that they were probably the second most plain uniforms I've ever seen behind the ones that they've been wearing presently. Like, their normal uniform set when they just ripped off the offensive logo, and they're just a create a team right now. But
how did they not have a name for 2 years?
Well, it happened kind of quick, and it was a PR win, but I'm sure
not the next quick scandal, enough according to Native Americans.
Yeah, that's true.
Fair point.
I'm with you, Billy. There's no good excuse for not having a team name in the uniform set.
I know this is a football thing, but I think Jock Peterson's batting right now. I don't know if you guys can. I mean, we're live on Monday. Whatever. He's batting with pearls on his neck. I've never seen a baseball player play with pearls on.
Jocktober. I mean.
All right, back to football. Sorry.
I feel like there's a lot of jewelry being worn in the NFL. I thought that was frowned upon. Not pearls, but like a lot of chains being worn, a lot of jewelry
being
worn.
Swag.
Chris. I always remember like when you went to go, like when you were a kid and you were like wearing a chain, where like, no, you got to take off the chain before you go into the game. It could be dangerous, it could be ripped on, it could be used against you as a weapon. I'm kind of amazed. I'm kind of amazed that a lot of guys just run around out there with chains.
Wait a minute, hold on a second. How do you have jewelry being used as a weapon?
Imagine, Dan, you're at the bottom of a fumble pile, and someone grabs you by the chain and pulls it, and all of a sudden your esophagus is being strangled by your own chain. Yeah, I would not put it past someone to do that.
Joe Burrow wasn't wearing a chain when they contused his throat. It's just football. Like, everything, they've got prayer circles and an ambulance off to the side of the field. It's not because people are wearing jewelry.
Yeah, a totally reasonable point.
The only pearls that there are in football are the ones being clutched by Adam Archuleta and Greg Gumbel, and that when Brandon Staley goes for it inside of his own 20.
Archuleta, this is big news.
When are the commentators going to start realizing that Dan Campbell's going for it on fourth down, and you don't have to go, I think they should give the football back to the other team? Like, the game is evolving in front of your eyes. Like, adjust a little bit.
Mike, why are you now a 4 p.m. window guy? Because I'm a 1 p.m. Fall asleep on a Sunday, it's going to be during the 4 p.m. games.
But all season long, I was always a 1 p.m. window guy because the games were always better. But this season, the 1 p.m. window has been trash. There have been a lot of good teams out on the West Coast. The NFL has scheduled those wisely. There were 3 games going on in this 4 p.m. window this Sunday. Much better games, much more interesting. I felt that Cowboys Patriots game was so quality. One standalone game was better than anything that was going on in the 1 p.m. window. And I know a game went to overtime, but I was alerted that game was happening while it went to overtime. That was one of the least featured red zone games I had ever seen prior to that game going OT.
But Mike, I think that's in part today because the Ravens Chargers game didn't live up to what everyone was thinking it was going to be. Like, everyone thought that was going to be a great game. It should have been a great game. And that looked like, to me, that was the biggest surprise of the day because Lamar Jackson didn't play that well. And they still blew that team out, you know?
So God, you actually got me thinking, like, why do we put West Coast teams through 1 p.m. starts? It seems really unfair. Why would you even do that to their fan base? congratulations, Chargers. Great season so far. Here's a cross-country flight and a 9 a.m. Your body is playing football at 9 a.m. according to just your normal routine. It seems kind of silly.
The Rams didn't mind it today, though.
That's the Giants, though.
You say that, though. Not fair to the fans. Dolphin fans had their day ruined before noon. Just having to sit there and watch all of what that was. I wanted to ask you, though, you mentioned that the Patriots-Cowboys game was great because the fourth quarter was certainly great. But again, I have a real hard time watching the Patriots in this incarnation. But we're willing to right now ship the Defensive Player of the Year trophy to Trayvon Diggs's house, correct? We're willing to do that. Two pick sixes, seven interceptions in six games. We can just send that to him now?
You know what, though, Dan? You love the metrics. The Pro Football Focus people do not like Trayvon Diggs. And I read, Steve, I forget how to pronounce his last name. I think it's Palazzolo. Yeah. He said that his Pro Football Focus rating is actually not that high because, yes, he makes big plays, but he also gives up a lot of them, including the touchdown to Bourne towards the end of that fourth quarter. So if you're one of these metrics people, like maybe Aaron Donald is that guy even still, despite the fact he's making all those huge plays.
Fair enough, but I would ask you, do you think the people voting on Defensive Player of the Year are checking Pro Football Focus? I ask you that seriously as Archuleta clutching pearls in the fourth quarter.
I once saw Marc Gasol, I think, win Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA over LeBron James, despite the fact that Marc Gasol was second team All-NBA defense that very same year.
It was the health side.
Sports writers have no idea how to vote for defense. They'll sort by INTs, and they'll go from there.
The Packers are also hurt, correct? The Packers they've lost one game this season. The game, Billy and Stugatz, are you willing to move off of your take that he is tanking, that Aaron Rodgers is tanking?
No, he was sending a message the first game. Yes, now he's exactly proving his worth.
It's a long play, Dan. Wait until the whole script plays out.
He's looked this great after one game where he looked horrible. How does that make sense unless it was intentional?
So you're saying that the tank will come back at a later point in the season?
No, he's proved he's sent his message.
So it was a one-game tank?
No, it was a message-sending game. Mm. Message sent.
He was just letting you know, hey, down the road, I am going to tank. You don't know when, you don't know how, you don't know why, okay? But this is what you're eventually going to see down the road.
I'm capable of this.
Right, exactly.
So hold on. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers, who in the last five games has thrown for about 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns, and one pick.
Yeah.
Are you guys not listening? That's tanking?
Yep.
No, you're not paying attention. He sent a message the first game to show that he's capable of doing that if he's trifled with. That's what they did in the offseason. Now he's showing what he can do.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. Gotcha. I wasn't listening.
We'll get back to being trifled with soon, though. You'll see. It will happen. Playoff time.
How are Packers fans supposed to feel about this? Because
worried.
Wait, hang on a second. I'm supposed to feel sad for Packers fans? They went from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. I'm supposed to feel sad? Like, get over here. You got Aaron Rodgers for 16 years. What are you talking about? Feel sad for Packers fans. Enjoy while you get them, and your replacement is probably very soon on the way because you seem to lead a charmed existence with quarterbacks.
I mean, they had 30 years. You're right, so right about that. It's such a great point. 30 years at the highest level of quarterback play. Perhaps in NFL history. I mean, seriously.
There's still an outside chance he comes back. Like, I mean, if they win the Super Bowl, like, he might come back. If they lose in the Super Bowl, it's not completely done that he's leaving. He will probably leave, but enjoy one of the greatest quarterbacks ever while you still have him is where you're supposed to be. What he did today to the Bears with his words is one of the coolest things we've seen from a quarterback and one of the realest things that we've seen, like one of the best uses of the parabolic microphone off to the side of the field that has ever been, because that's incredible that we got that kind of real, authentic moment from Aaron Rodgers. I'm sure he's probably not happy that that's out there, but it's great for us that it is.
He's happy.
Oh, yeah, he knew it was there.
Yeah. Aaron, come on. Enough with this whole Aaron Rodgers doesn't like this attention bullshit. He's in all these State Farm commercials dressed as a musician from the 70s. Aaron Rodgers likes attention, okay? Enough.
I don't think that he's in those State Farm commercials.
For attention? What is he in there for? Because he's worried about people's car insurance? Get out of here. He doesn't care about people being insured when they're driving. He likes attention and money. You really don't think that he does? Why is he dating a celebrity if he didn't like attention after dating another celebrity?
He's marrying a celebrity, and I don't think I'm going to go ahead and hypothesize that he's doing attention. That because he loves her, not because he wants more attention because he doesn't get enough attention.
Also,
that
by the
is
way,
$600. Whoever phone is going off. I mean, geez.
Three of them.
30 years of great quarterbacks and 2 Super Bowls. Not impressive.
I'm thinking that's Dan's phone.
My phone's not in here. It may be my phone, but my phone is absolutely not in
sounds
here.
Sounds like it's red. Look on top of the microphone.
Oh my God. Yeah.
No, I am. Look, I'm going to get up. You guys carry this. I'm going to go get the computer? Phone from where it is and show you that I don't have my phone on.
Are you getting iChats via the computer?
While you're there, stop at the ATM and get $800.
Make sure to bring it tomorrow, though. It's got to travel tomorrow to the studio, right?
I trust he's good for it.
Do you guys believe Aaron Rodgers doesn't like attention?
Oh, no, he plays quarterback for a living in front of 60,000 seat stadiums. Like, I mean, you have to like attention. You can't be a hermit and play professional football.
He takes he takes all of those preseason photos for the entire year wearing a mustache just so he can laugh at himself during these game broadcasts.
But I think what Billy is asking, and I think he's right, does he go out of his way? You get the attention just by playing quarterback in the NFL in front of 70,000 people. Does he go out of his way for added attention?
I'm just saying he's not embarrassed that that's getting out and that he's getting attention for that.
No. He loves that. And he should love
I just went Why? Into the other room and the phone was in the other room. But what made me sad, and I don't know if this happens to you guys, is the television still on there on the Red Zone channel and that operatic music is still playing. And at the end of Sundays, it makes me sad because I've had a dirty day and I've been slothy all day and I don't want to be accompanied by an orchestra. I want it to be less dramatic. I'm okay with it building up to the first 5-minute countdown of 7 hours of commercial-free football. But at the end of the day, I feel I'm deeply depressed right now by that music.
You never check in on Wednesdays to see on the off chance.
I do all the time.
Yeah. Is there something on?
Just in case there's an NFL game.
Just in case there's a Texans Jags game that I didn't know about.
I tuned in on one Wednesday.
Okay.
Somebody's phone is now off. It's off.
And Mike, occasionally last year in the pandemic, you would do it on a Tuesday, and boom, there was a game. Yeah.
No, I tuned in last. I'm going to go. Let's see here. A Wednesday in March, and Bill O'Brien was just sitting there staring at me.
That's terrifying.
That music is great, though. I love when we get to like if you stay on for long enough, you get to the NFL Films music deep cuts. Because we all know, like, we've heard the same NFL, the same 5 NFL film songs. But when you get to, like, 9:30 in the Red Zone channel, you get to the deep cuts.
Whittingham, this is what I'm going to tell you. I believe that something's happening here with the way that you set up my equipment, because it does sound like it's coming from in here.
Is it your computer?
Is your messages app on your computer on?
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. That's exactly what it's got to be. Are these messages popping up on your computer screen?
No, I don't have anything on here right now, but that might be what's happening, actually.
Witty, what kind of instrument would you play if you were in an orchestra?
I like the bass. The strings of the bass.
I got you pegged for oboe.
Oh, all the way. Okay. I had bassoon for Witty.
I've got him playing the harp.
String family, not a woodwind.
Did you say bassoon purely because it's called the bassoon?
Yes,
of course.
It's a great name for an instrument.
I'd love to be a conductor one day. How do you learn how to be a conductor?
You just gotta go like this.
No.
Yeah.
It's not the tool.
It's very,
do you call it? Is it a wand? Do you call it a wand?
Oh my lord!
Yeah. Like you don't know.
Is it called a wand?
Like you don't spend many a weekend
you
at the opera.
You knew the name of the microphone. I mean,
it's a baton, is it not? It's not a wand.
You're right. It is a baton. You're right. It is a baton.
I don't think an orchestra leader. That's a wizard of some sort.
Yeah.
That waves a wand.
Even Mickey, when he was an orchestra leader, didn't wave a wand.
Hmm.
Maybe he did.
I think he did.
Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here unless you guys got anything more from the games today that you found hugely interesting, because the thing that's going to pop today is just Aaron Rodgers giving us a couple of sentences of honest sound, correct?
We can't talk about Scorigami. We had a Scorigami happen today.
Scorigami! It was amazing. You're burying the
lead. We finally had a Scorigami. It's only happened 166 other times in NFL history. This is amazing.
Well, explain to people who don't know what that is. It's the 38-11 game.
Yeah, so Scorigami is something that's achieved anytime you have a final score in the NFL, the cumulative score by two different totals for the first time ever in history. It's always a big deal. And I know it had its time in the sun because Scott Hansen talked about it for what felt like an eternity, but that was just because Vikings-Panthers was going on. I've been wanting to discuss Scorigami for years. I am obsessed with it. I really get up for a game that's in the Scorigami zone. I love NFL oddities. Today there was an oddity in Cleveland. Two oddities, actually. You had two number one overall draft picks. I went to the same school in back-to-back years. You rarely ever see that. And also, you had a game in which A.J. Green was covering A.J. Green. That hasn't happened since Saints Dolphins London, Michael Thomas on Michael Thomas. And I'm sure Brandon Marshall once caught a pass going over the middle on Brandon Marshall. These are the NFL oddities that I live for.
And Scorigami today in the Meadowlands, when Joe Judge goes for two at 38-9, you're rubbing your hands going, it's Scorigami time, boys. It's Scorigami. And then I look it up. So Scott Hansen goes, well, there's a 34-11 and a 38-11. I wonder if there might be Scorigami. You know what I do, Dan? I go to NFLScorigami.com. There's a grid that shows me what scores have not been achieved yet. And when I saw 38-11, I was fired up. Now, here's what could have happened. The Giants could have scored a touchdown. 38-17 is not Scorigami. However, 38-18 is. We could have had a situation where we had an extra point for Scorigami, which would have been one of the most massive extra points in the history of football.
A couple of things here, because it doesn't seem like it was that long ago that Denver was 3-0 and Carolina was 3-0. I believe that at that point, Stugatz did put Matt Rhule in the category with Pete Carroll and Jimmy Johnson at 3-0, where you were saying he was one of the best power brokers in the history of the league at 3-0. But you mentioned the Carolina-Minnesota game, and I wanted to ask you guys if anyone felt better today than KJ Osborne at the end of that game, making that catch and then whipping his helmet off and just getting to nod into all of the cameras in an opposing stadium after beating the 9-for-25 Sam Darnold through 3.5 quarters.
It was absurdly dangerous. No, maybe this is the old guy in me, but I thought, don't do that. That's super dangerous. He almost clocked somebody in the head. It was inches away from possibly cracking someone's head wide open. You have to be more responsible than that. And also, I don't know when this changed, but I lost a very painful game when Dwayne Rudd did this. They changed the outcome of a game just because Dwayne Rudd showed that very same emotion. Be more careful.
Like,
it makes for a cool GIF.
They play football for a living. You want to be careful? Like,
I can't believe that Mike and Whittingham are our grandparents. Like, you can get beat to death with one of those chains. Be careful with those helmets you're throwing.
And
Randy Gregory almost kills Mac Jones.
Oh my God. Walloped him.
We're worried about jewelry and Randy Gregory almost cut half.
When KJ Osborne did that, I was looking at the near victim and was making sure that they were okay. And then it washed over me that is that the best Kings prospect we've had in like 10 years? and he was a trans.
He's more a Buffalo prospect than a Hurricanes Buffalo prospect.
The best Kane is actually a transfer from Buffalo. We had him for 1 year.
Dan, I'd like to tease this for tomorrow, because until this season, the record was 7 back in 2012. But right now, I have an 8-way tie for the best quarterback in the NFL.
Wow.
I mean, this is very exciting. Never happened before, Dan.
Lost in all this game with the Vikings and the Panthers. Kirk Cousins slowly climbing up my list of quarterbacks that I want to have with the ball in their hands with the last, 2 minutes.
Because the last 2 weeks, he's done it in 40 seconds.
Right, Dan.
If you need a game-tying field goal, Kirk Cousins is your guy.
He is amazing.
I don't think that's accurate, what you're saying.
Slowly climbing, though.
I disagree.
I also don't think Kirk Cousins is accurate. But in the last 2 minutes, he might be.
I don't believe you could say Kirk Cousins is amazing. I believe you can say that their skill guys are amazing.
Situational greatness. It's the key for those guys. That's how you win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco.
I love the idea of that. Yes, you have to choose last 40 seconds who you want, Tom Brady or Kirk Cousins. I'm going Cousins because look what he did to the Panthers.
I don't know. He's good at those 50-second drives to get into the opposition 31. He's great at that.
We talk about the undefeated Arizona Cardinals. Kirk Cousins put that team in position to win at Arizona. And
yes.
Grant Joseph out of FAU let him down. He is doing that week in, week out. He did it last week against the Lions. Right. He is a very good situational football player.
Why can't he just always play that situation in his head then? Why can't it always be a 50-second drill for him?
Great point.
Just make it that situation all the time.
In your head, yeah. Just tell yourself this is what I'm up against.
I need to get to the other team's 31 all the time.
Does the defense also play him in prevent defense, though, too? Because I think he's in for a rude awakening once the safeties start moving up.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Should Kirk Cousins be living life 50 seconds at a time?
Mike, speaking of inaccuracy, Sam Darnold's stat line being like the Fox graphic of having the quarterback stat line up the entire game, Sam Darnold is like 6 of 19, 11 of 31, 15 of 37. It was appalling how inaccurate he was. And now some of it was drops, to be fair to him. I cannot believe that a starting quarterback threw 40 passes and completed 16 of them. That doesn't happen anymore.
He had a quarterback rating of 34.1. I told you guys when they started to play the good teams and the good defenses, Sam Darnold would not be that good. He's not good.
Who had the worst quarterbacking day today? Was it Daniel Jones with the three interceptions, or was there worse than that?
He's got nobody. He's got nobody. He's improved so much.
I saw Gettleman going across the middle one time in a suit. He was running across the middle because they got seven starters out on offense.
Jared Goff did get called out by his own coach today, so yeah. I would nominate him as well.
Yeah. We're all going to give it to the guy that decided to throw a ball away on fourth down. He wins worst quarterback of the day.
But I got to tell you, Justin Herbert, shockingly, was right up there. Like, he wasn't good very shout. Good at all.
Good shout. Man.
Yeah. I'm about to take back that apology, Justin Herbert. How could you do me like that?
We buried the league on Scoregami. What you guys didn't see what Mike Ryan texted all of his friends when 38-11 came in. It was a mass text to everyone he knows.
I love you all. I love you all. And it was genuine joy. You don't know how many near Scoregamis have broken my heart here, Dan. It's why we do this.
Guys, we blew it. Davis Mills played on the road today.
Ooh. Oh, God, he had a quarter and a half, though.
No, he doesn't count. I don't know. Wait a minute. I don't believe that we can put him in a category with anybody. I believe the big surprise of this entire football season was him throwing for 300 yards last week.
What's wrong with Ben Roethlisberger's butt? He just zoomed in on it and circled it with a telestrator. There's a weird bump there.
I was going to say, Geno Smith just kicked off against the Steelers. The night is young in terms of bad quarterbacking performances.
All right, let's get out of here.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger. offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.